Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Why, hello there. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here across the United States of America, and I am glad to have you with me. The phone number is 877-973-7425. It's the day before the 4th of July. I'm here live. I'm happy to take your calls. I'll be out tomorrow, but I will be here live on Friday. I didn't want to run a best of 2 days in a row, and I didn't want to Charlie's on vacation trying to scramble to find a guest host. So I just decided I will come in. I will do the show on Friday with Jim. We'll have a good time, the two of us. I don't know that I got a call screener on Friday because it is technically a vacation day for a lot of people, but I'll be here. And Lord knows what's going to happen in the next 24 or 48 hours. So probably big news, and I want to cover it anyway. So better be live for something like this. But I want to move on for a little while from the bites. If I'll get back to it, there are a lot of people on hold who want to talk about it. You do need to know this is breaking news. Just a few moments ago, Joe Biden wrapped up a phone call with his campaign team, said he has no intention of leaving the race. He's in it for the long haul, and he intends to win it. Now, that can change on a dime, but that's where his mind is right now. I want to go on to something else, though. Many American news outlets at this point are having climate reporters funded by left-wing climate groups. It's one of the many reasons you can no longer trust the American Press Corps. In addition to the way they're covering Joe Biden, they cover climate with hysteria and doomsaying, trying to explain to you how terrible and awful things are right now in ways that are not necessarily true. One of the worst has forever been Bill Weir at CNN, who's just a doomsday apocalyptic guy, super cheery. He's a partisan progressive, and you can tell it through his reporting. The left, every time it's summer and every time there's a heat wave, tells you that it's going to be hot. They not only tell you it's going to be hot, but then they try to lie to you and tell you what isn't actually the truth. Part of it is, well, we got this volcano. On January 15th, 2022, the Hunga Tonga Hunga Haiape volcano in the Pacific exploded. The volcano triggered tsunamis in the South Pacific. It's in a massive plume of water. 150 million metric tons of water, 40 trillion gallons of water into the stratosphere. Scientists have predicted because of it, the next decade would be really hot. When I pointed this out, a fact checker insisted that this was not so. Rachel Frazen, who wound up locking her Twitter account. I want to read for you the headlines because this is very important for you to hear. NASA, August 2nd, 2022, Tonga eruption blasted unprecedented amount of water into stratosphere. NPR, August 3rd, 2022, Tonga's volcano sent tons of water into the stratosphere. This could warm the Earth. The vapor will stay there for years, likely affecting Earth's climate patterns. New York Times, September 22nd, 2022, the Tonga volcano shook the world. It may affect climate. Live Science, September 24th, 2022, 50 million tons of water vapor released explosive event increased atmospheric water vapor by 5%. Space.com, November 3rd, 2022, record-breaking Hunga Tonga volcanic plume might have warmed Earth's climate. Nature, December 19th, 2022, Hunga Tonga eruption, the most remarkable climatic event in the last three decades. The effect of the major recent volcano will affect our climate for years. New Scientist, January 12th, 2023. 2022 Tonga eruption means we may hit the 1.5 degrees Celsius global warming earlier. It will affect us for the next 5 years. The effect won't completely disappear till 2035. Carbon Brief, January 15th, 2023. Tonga volcano eruption raises imminent risk of temporary 1.5 degrees Celsius breach. The eruption of Tonga's underwater volcano in 2022 may raise global temperatures, raising the risk that at least 1 year in the next five will exceed the 1.5 degrees Celsius threshold. Phys.org, January 25th, 2023, models show Tonga eruption increases chance of global temperature rise. Forbes, January 30th, 2023. The problem is the blast emitted 50 million metric tons of water into the atmosphere that's likely to mess with climate for years. EOS, March 16th, 2023. The underwater eruption of the Hunga Tonga Hunga Haiapai sent megatons of water into the stratosphere, contributing to an increase in global warming over the next 5 years. Sci-Fi, August 9th, 2023. The 2022 Tonga volcanic eruption may cause temporary global warming. The eruption caused temporary warming over the Pacific and could increase global warming over the next decade. Here's another one from the EOS. The underwater eruption sent megatons of water into the stratosphere and will contribute to an increase in global warming over the next 5 years. In the summer of 1886, June of 1886, not one, not two, but three hurricanes made landfall in the United States over a two-week period in June. And yet, if you listen to the American press corps now, it's all doom and gloom. Here's Bill Weir from CNN.
How are all of these disasters related?
Well, Kate, science said there would be days like this. This is just the result of an overheating planet. We got 1.5 trillion extra tons of heat-trapping pollution, carbon dioxide, methane, around this planet, and it's getting hotter. There was a forecast for Death Valley for Monday, 130 degrees, which is the temperature of a medium-rare steak, to give you perspective. And if that's where the planet is headed, it affects different ecosystems differently. Everywhere, if you live out west, it's going to affect outdoor workers, outdoor activities, the vulnerable triple-digit, these heat domes that really prey on older folks and older structures. That's why heat is more deadly than all the other disasters combined. If you're in the Atlantic, where there are underwater heat waves. In addition, that's hurricane food fueling barrel and creating that rapid intensification for places like Jamaica that haven't seen this. This is not their grandfather's storm anymore, right? And the infrastructure in places in the Caribbean, especially, not up for the task in places like this. And then there's wildfires in dry, arid conditions out west, and even in Butte County, which is the site of the campfire, the deadliest in the lower 48. It's just dry. It's tinder dry. And one lightning strike or one errant cigarette butt can start a wildfire there. So it depends on where you are. And this is adding up to billion-dollar disasters on a scale we haven't seen in history now. If you look at the chart, this actually doesn't account for the recent spate of tornadoes that that plagued the United States, the recent flooding we saw in the Southwest there. And so there are just massive billion-dollar events that are just adding up right now. And here we are, and it's just the beginning of summer, Kate.
The beginning of summer, Kate. Y'all, we have an entire industry now funded by left-wing activists that is designed to scare us about the climate. Major news publications around the country have reporters who are, in fact, funded by left-wing groups designed to scare you about the climate. We're in summer. It gets hot. There are hailstorms and tornadoes. There are hurricanes. The spring in particular has tornadoes. I'm actually in the camp that I think global warming is a phenomenon. I think man's role in it is overstated, but I do think when you have a massive underwater volcano that spews hundreds of millions of gallons of water into the atmosphere or whatever it is. No, I want to get it right. Unlike these people. 150 million metric tons of water into the atmosphere. And all of the reports at the time and for the next year said it would cause unprecedented global warming for about a decade beyond normal global warming. I think this is a situation where progressives are saying never let a crisis go to waste. We have a massive unprecedented event. This volcano injects 150 million metric tons of water vapor into the atmosphere at the time and for an entire year thereafter. And now current research from scientists say that this volcano would contribute to a decade of global warming in addition to everything else. And guess what? It's bearing out. 150 million extra metric tons of water vapor in the atmosphere has caused heat, not to mention you got the La Nina effect in the Pacific and everything else. Of course, what we're happening is not normal, because it's not normal to have an underwater volcano inject that much into the atmosphere. But notice, no one's talking about the volcano. They were at the time. For a year, they would talk about the volcano as long as they were not talking about other weather events. The proximate cause of what's going on right now is a volcano that exploded that in real time, scientists said, would cause extreme temperatures for up to a decade. They've memory-holed it. Because their job is not to tell you the truth. Their job is to scare you into acquiescing to government control of your life. That is their job. The environmentalists are watermelons. They're green on the outside and red in the middle. They're commies. Remember, the environmentalist movement of the United States in the 1980s was very literally funded by the Soviet Union. No, I'm not making that up. You can research it and find it out yourself. The Soviet Union was dumping tons of money into anti-nuclear campaigns in the United States, and pro-climate activists and vegans and tree huggers, and you name it. The environmentalist movement of the United States was propped up by Soviet money because they knew the anti-industrial campaigns of the environmentalists and the anti-nuclear campaigns of the environmentalists would, if successful, hurt the United States. The communists didn't go anywhere. They're still in the environmentalist movement, still trying to get us to undermine the West and industrialization. Yes, we should be good stewards. Yes, we should conserve. But no, we shouldn't listen to the hysterics funded by left-wing activists who all they want to do is hurt the United States and bring us down. That's what all of this is about. It's summer. Of course it's hot. A massive volcano injected a massive amount of water vapor into the atmosphere, and there is no disagreement among any scientist anywhere, left, right, or center, that water vapor will contribute to climate change. Water vapor will contribute to making it hotter outside. You know it yourself. Dry heat versus a humid heat. The dry heat is more bearable than the humid heat. It's the water vapor in the air causing it from a volcano. It's not you and it's not me. And they're lying to you. Because they have an agenda against the West, an agenda against the United States, an agenda funded by left-wing radicals. Ironically, many of those left-wing radicals are the grandchildren and great-grandchildren of the robber barons who made their money in oil, the Rockefeller descendants, among others. It is their religion. And they, unlike Christian missionaries who call people to Christ, they just want to impose their religion on you, their climate cult. They want to impose it on you through government mandate and force. And you got to stand up and call them out. What we're seeing happen right now, the proximate cause of it, is a massive volcano that injected 150 million metric tons of water into the atmosphere. And all the scientists, for a year after it said, for the next decade, it's going to cause abnormal heat because of the amount of water vapor. And now they hope you do not listen to them. They hope you don't believe it. And they call out people like me, including having environmentalist reporters try to fact check me on this. And I'm right, and all the research has shown I'm right. And notice, they never bring it up on CNN when they talk about these fear scenarios.
Want to be on the show?
Hello?
I love your show.
Call Eric now at 877-973-7425. You can be live on Eric's show by calling 877-97-ERIC. That's 877-973-7425.
Welcome. It is Eric Erickson across the nation. The day before Independence Day, I hope you got your fireworks. I'm lighting mine. They're going to be fantastic. Things are not going well at the White House. Those of you on the phones, forgive me. I'll get to your phone calls, but we got to...
And I did want to follow up on what Sungmin brought up, I think others as well. You did get numerous questions yesterday about the president's debate performance. You didn't mention travel, the jet lag, the foreign trip. So I think you can understand why it was a little bit puzzling to hear the president mentioning that as his explanation for the first time last night. I'm just, can you clarify whether when you took the podium yesterday, did you not know that that
was
a major
factor? And I would say that is my bad. That is part of, definitely part of the explanation of what had occurred. I did know that. But we were so focused. I was so focused on the call, on the cold, and that's what I kind of leaned into and talked about. But yes, his schedule did have something to do with it. It was the schedule and the cold, and I was aware of that yesterday.
Sounds like she's lost some credibility.
We're now almost a week after the debate. Why doesn't the president just come here right now and answer for himself at this briefing room all of the questions that
we
have?
Well, you asked me a couple things. You asked when is he going to be unscripted. He has been. When he went to visit a diner in a couple of days ago at the Waffle House, when he met with some of the supporters in Atlanta, North Carolina, where hundreds of supporters showed up. He certainly had an opportunity to engage. On Friday, he's going to be taking some questions from one of your colleagues. I think that's going to be important, and we're going to continue to engage with all of you. We're going to certainly looking forward to doing that. He'll have a press conference next week. At NATO press conference, a big boy press conference, as Justin from Bloomberg
stated yesterday. A big boy press conference. Can someone in the press corps ask if he was sick and had a cold? Why did they take him to a Waffle House after years of telling us to wear masks and sequester ourselves if we're sick? Can someone at the White House press corps ask this question? I cannot believe they haven't. Americans for Prosperity is asking questions about the border, tough questions that need to be answered, and reminding you that we know what to do to take care of the border. All you got to do is go to secureborderSecureAmerica.com to find out more. They got a great website for you with all the information you need. In fact, you know, I haven't been there for a while, so I'm going to go secureborderSecureAmerica.com. Under the Biden administration, we're facing the worst border crisis in the history of our country. 8 million illegal crossings at the southern border, 2 million gotaways. You can find out the solutions on border reform, inspections, patrols. You can click the button that says get the facts, and you can get the facts about what's going on and what the solutions are. And you can sign up, stay in touch, get news information, and take action to let Americans know and to let your neighbors know the solutions and to remind you of the common sense solutions. You can take action with them. Americans for Prosperity set up this website, secureborderSecureAmerica.com. Where you can find out the facts, you can get involved, you can advocate for common sense conservative solutions to secure the border and secure America. SecureBorderSecureAmerica.com, brought to you by my friends at Americans for Prosperity.
He's got the courage to tell you the truth, even when it isn't popular. You're listening to The Eric Erickson Show.
Howdy. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. Things are just not going well at the White House. The phone number, if you want to call in here, 877-973-7425. We've got people who have been waiting on hold. I'd like to take their phone calls here in just one moment, but just give me one second. I'm trying to see if I can find, yes, here we go. This is at the White House, Karine Jean-Pierre, the dim-witted White House press secretary, making matters worse.
For certain.
Have an afternoon nap every day.
Let me be very clear about this. This is a president that wakes up every morning and puts the American people first. That's what he does. He does that every single day. That is his focus. I am not going to speak to sources out there, unnamed sources out there. That's not what I'm going to speak to. I'm going to speak to what I know, what this president does, and how he is committed to the work of the president, of the command.
Oh, my gosh. Y'all, it's just, it's not good. It's not good. Just wow. And then there's this.
Today, President Biden taped two black radio interviews that will air tomorrow morning. One is with Earl Ingram on Civic Media Network, which airs across Wisconsin, and one with Andrea Lawful Sanders on WURD's The Source in Philadelphia.
So taped interviews that'll air on Independence Day when no one's going to be listening to them. Okay. All right. Hang on. I got to tell you a story. This is a true story I'm going to tell you. God's honest truth. In 2005, George W. Bush, surprising everyone, and I mean everyone, nominated Harriet Myers to the United States Supreme Court. Bush didn't care about the abortion issue or anything else. He cared about Harriet Myers. She was his friend and lawyer, and he wanted to put her on the Supreme Court to reward her for years of loyalty. Myers, of course, I was the one who broke the story, gave money to Al Gore when he ran for president against George H.W. Bush. Myers was a Democrat, and she wasn't pro-life. She wasn't a great ideological conservative warrior, but Bush wanted to reward her. When Harriet Myers started her interviews on Capitol Hill, started answering questions, they were disastrous. She wasn't able to answer senators' questions about in-depth constitutional law issues. She was met with questions about stare decisis and Roe v. Wade and the Chevron doctrine, and she had no good comprehensive answers. She had no underlying legal philosophy to guide her. She didn't understand questions about originalism. She didn't understand textual critiques. She didn't understand a lot. And senators were flabbergasted that Bush would put a very good lawyer, but a lawyer who was out of her depth on constitutional law issues. She may have been a great corporate lawyer, but she wasn't a great constitutional law lawyer, was the impression senators were given by her failure to answer basic questions of constitutional law. There's just one problem. The interviews had never happened. She hadn't yet met with the senators. What had happened is behind the scenes, a group of constitutional conservative warriors who were on the Senate Judiciary Committee and among Republican leadership staff knew they had to sabotage Harriet Myers' nomination. So they began using their credibility as star staffers to Republicans on the Judiciary Committee to leak unflattering stories about Harriet Myers, stories that weren't true, but that other Republican senators began reading in the newspaper and hearing that she was having bad interviews and giving bad answers. And it made them more skeptical, and it made them then, when she came for the actual interviews, ask very tough questions that she did prove to not be up for. The Republican staffers lied and set Harriet Myers up to be ambushed by tough questions she couldn't answer in order to sabotage her campaign. I'm not making the story up. It's a true story. It is a story that was told to me by one of the organizers of the effort to sabotage Harriet Myers' nomination. A man you all know, named Chip Roy, congressman from Texas, who worked for John Cornyn on the Senate Judiciary Committee staff. The Senate Judiciary Committee Republican staffers were committed to sabotaging her nomination, and they succeeded. The New York Times ran a story earlier today that Joe Biden had told a close ally he was reassessing the race and knew what he needed to do, and if he couldn't do it, he would need to get out. How do we know that's true? How do we know the Democrats are not now doing to Joe Biden what Republican staffers did to Harriet Myers, beginning to sabotage him because they see the writing on the wall and they're desperate to stop Donald Trump? So they're willing to throw Joe Biden under the bus now by telling stories to the press that are not real. You see it with conservatives doing it right now, pretending to have insider knowledge that, oh, Joe Biden, he's going to announce he's getting out of the race after the George Stephanopoulos interview, or he's going to use the George Stephanopoulos interview. They don't have any sources telling them that. I know, because I actually do have very good Democratic sources from my time at CNN, from the relationships I built. None of them are telling me that, and I assure you they would. In fact, they're all panicked right now. They're all freaking out. They've come to the conclusion Joe Biden needs to get out, but that Joe Biden cannot be made to get out, and they hear Joe Biden doubling down on his phone calls. But if Republican staffers could sabotage Harriet Myers by lying to, using their credentials and positions to lie to the press to see negative stories about Harriet Myers, why can't Democrats in Congress and the White House suddenly freaked out about Joe Biden? Why can't they do the same thing? And one of the common things you learn, it's something we heard about Obama, it's something we heard about Trump, it's something we're hearing a lot about Biden, is how little he actually interacts with congressional leaders. Obama and Trump didn't do it either. But Joe Biden's definitely not doing it. And you've got White House staff now saying, we had no idea. We were in a bubble too. We were isolated from him. We never got to hang out with him. We didn't get to talk to him. Everything we did had to be funneled through the few people who did have contact with him. They put him in a bubble, and even people in the White House didn't have regular contact with the president, if they're to be believed. And maybe it's damage control. But it could also be true, and they're furious, and now they're out to sabotage him. To save the republic, they believe, to save democracy, they believe Joe Biden's got to go. And so they will lie and seed stories and sabotage his campaign, and it's been done before. After all, the Republicans did it to Harriet Myers. The playbook's already been written. The difference is they're doing it to their President of the United States. Remarkable. All right, to the phones we go. Jerry, calling from Ohio. Thanks for being patient. Welcome.
Awesome show you do, Eric. It's always a pleasure to listen to you every day.
Thank you.
So I was calling. I think that I anticipated it to be a really bad show for Biden in the debate, and it was even worse than I anticipated. But I think the thing I took away the most that kind of shocked me was after the debate, I believe that they were still, they did it after a debate thing with some of their supporters, and they were up at the podium, Jill and Biden were standing up there, and she turns to him and says, Joe, you did such a great job. You answered every question. And I was just thrown back. I mean, like, she's dropped her guard on protecting him when she said it. I think she just told all of America that, I mean, they were shocked that he was able to answer all the questions.
Right. Listen, she treated him like an elementary school teacher treats the dumb kid in the back of the class. I mean, she is a teacher, but yeah, I mean, it was that that's what you do. When the dumb kid in the back of the class gets the answer right, you talk to that kid the same way. All of you who've ever been in a classroom in elementary school knows that teacher's reaction that Jill Biden did. She was actually shocked that he was able to do it. Joe, you answered all the questions right. You get the gold star today, Joe. A for you. Your mommy and daddy are going to be so happy. That's what it was. Connie calling from Ohio. Welcome. How are you?
Hi, Eric.
How are you?
Thank you for all. And thank you for telling the truth and telling it every day to America.
Thank you.
I have a comment about the woman that wrote the editorial to the New York Times about taking everything away from people that they get some joy and pleasure out of.
Yes, like, this is the woman yesterday who, she doesn't want us to pop fireworks. She doesn't want us to eat beef. She doesn't want us to have any fun on the 4th of July.
Right. Well, if you tell people what to do, they're not going to want to do it. She needs to lead by example. For instance, I think she needs to give up her air conditioning for the rest of her life,
mm-hmm.
up her vehicle, because, I mean, that's using fossil fuel. She needs to walk or ride a bicycle or take public transportation everywhere she wants to go. And I think she should also start growing her own food.
I completely agree with you. I think she should. And definitely she's not going to pop any fireworks. She needs to make sure she has no natural gas coming into her house, lest it burn. She needs to give up everything. You're right. And for those of you who don't know what Connie's talking about, Connie, thanks very much for the phone call. The lady, you know, there is this cottage industry of people from the South who write in the New York Times to tell Northerners that all your bigoted perceptions of the South are real, and we're so sorry, these people are so terrible, and I'm here to ally with you. And this woman is Margaret Wrinkle, I think her name is. She's like, oh, we have to give up. We need to give up fireworks. It's so selfish to pop fireworks on the 4th of July. How dare we celebrate the way the founders wanted us to? And we need to give up cows and eating hamburgers because it's bad for us and bad for the planet, and fireworks are bad for the planet. It's like, come on. You people just want to give up all the joy in life. I went out and bought myself $600 in fireworks after reading that article so that I can shoot them tomorrow night in her honor. JT in Dunwoody, Georgia, you're going to be the last caller today. Welcome.
Afternoon, Eric. Happy early 4th. We speak again. I was just the previous caller hit on what I was I like your smackdown of that lady with the
thank you
being against the fireworks and everything. So I also went shopping here and there. I went multiple trips. So I don't think I'm going today. I got another text message from a fireworks store. I'm like, the money may run out. That's enough.
Yep.
But I just sound like a broken record, Eric. But I think you may have said it, and we may agree, Eric. The Democrats are stuck with the puppet. They can't get rid of him. I mean, Kaklyn and Kamala, I mean, like you said, they'll have to get rid of her, and then, you know, they'll get upset about that. And their bench is terrible. I mean, I could throw names at you. I mean, Clinton, Obama, Buttigieg, Sanders, Warren. I mean, really? Oh, Newsom, you know, the governors of Michigan and Illinois. I mean, they're done, Eric. They're stuck with him. They can't get rid of the old puppet. Look, that old stubborn bird isn't going anywhere.
They can't get rid of him. They can't. If he decides to go, then he will go, and Kamala will be the nominee. And that's part of the problem here, JT, is that there's been this fantasy scenario that they could get Joe Biden out, have an open convention, and pick someone else. No, it's all about the money. Only Kamala Harris can get it. Jim Clyburn from South Carolina was on television this morning, late yesterday, and said again that it's got to be Kamala Harris if it's not Joe Biden, that we should stand with Joe Biden, but if it's not Joe Biden, it's got to be Kamala Harris. That's all you need to know. And given the financial situation, that's what it's got to be. There can't be anything else. It's got to be that. Now, I got to move on. Speaking of fireworks, the smoky smell, the Eden Pure Thunderstorm can get rid of the smoky fireworks smell after you've been outside popping fireworks all night and you smell like gunpowder. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm can wipe it out. You can get three of them for less than $200. Save $200. EdenPureDeals.com. The discount code is ERIC3, ERICK3. The Eden Pure Thunderstorm is an air purifier, so it gets rid of pollen, gets rid of dust, but it also gets rid of those smells, tobacco smells, gunpowder smells from the 4th of July, litter box smells, wet dog smells, cooking smells, you name it. You can plug it up with a USB cord if you're in a car. It'll fire up and wipe out if someone smoked in the rental car. It wipes out the odors. I've had to do that. Or a hotel room. I've had to do that. And it's small. You can hold it in your hand, and you can get it at EdenPureDeals.com. The discount code, ERIC3, ERICK3. You go to EdenPureDeals.com. You put in Eric, the number 3. You get three of them for less than $200. You're saving $200. EdenPureDeals.com. Discount code, ERIC3.
He'll do the research and give it to you straight.
Eric Erickson is live every weekday. Want Eric's weekly recipes? They're super delicious. Text recipe to 33777 now.
Greetings and welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. I'll be out tomorrow for the 4th. I'll be back live on the 5th. There's too much news to take off Friday. And who knows, this Biden story maybe gets to Friday, has a bad Stephanopoulos interview and decides to bail. I don't know. What I know is right now he is intending to stay in. And that's causing the Democrats to freak out. They're panicked. They see their internal polling. And there's a lesson here for all of you who are skeptical of the polls and think the polls are always wrong. That's why the Democrats are panicked, is because they have internal in-depth polling they know to be pretty good, and it's turned decisively against Biden. And they're making their decisions based on polling. It's flawed, to be sure, but it's still not as bad as some of you think. At that level, they've got pretty good pollsters who spend a whole lot of money to deliver a pretty good poll, and it's shaping Democratic thinking, and it's causing the panic. But Biden doesn't believe it. He doesn't believe. He believes that they've stacked the deck against him, that they never wanted him to begin with, and he's doubling down. He just launched a seven-figure ad buy attacking the Supreme Court decision on immunity for Trump, warning what would happen if Donald Trump came back in. This is not a man who looks like he's getting out of the race. Things can change, though. Stephanopoulos' job is to euthanize the Biden campaign on Friday. If Stephanopoulos fails, Biden stays in the race. It's all on George on Friday. You got Carville and all his friends out there saying Biden needs to go. Stephanopoulos listens to these people. He's going to offer Biden a tough interview, the toughest he'll ever get from a Democrat like Stephanopoulos, designed to suffocate his campaign, starve it of cash and support. If it doesn't work, Biden stays in the race. It's going to be remarkable. I want to close this day before Independence Day and go back to something I said earlier. I see Susan Glasser, who's a progressive writer for The New Yorker, saying our democracy is threatened. It's on the verge. No, it's not. I do not believe it. I see Trump haters on the right and people on the left say it at the same. No, our democracy, our republic will survive. There are people on the right that get, we're a republic, not a democracy. We're a republic. We've got democratic institutions. The Romans went with a republic. The Greeks went with a democracy. In practice, they were the same, but they were operated in different ways. The Greeks were a direct democracy. We're not a direct democracy. We're a representative democracy. We have other institutions that constrain that democracy, much like the Romans did. We went with a republic. But we do have democratic institutions, and I think you understand what people are saying when they say democracy, and just stop nitpicking. When they mean democracy, they mean the tools by which we elect our leaders, that Trump will get in office and he'll stay there forever and he will become king. It's all nonsense on their side. Some of them have internalized it and believe it, but what they're actually saying is that they bet against the American public and they bet against the American constitutional system and they believe that it's weaker than it is. I don't bet against America. I don't bet against our constitutional system. I believe it's the best there is. So I think regardless of who is elected, whether it's Trump or Biden, our republic and the democratic institutions within our republic, the federalist institutions and all, they'll be just fine. This is a level of hysteria blinded by partisanship. The stakes are about power and who controls the White House, and they're using hysteria about democracy and the republic to make that case. We'll be fine. We live in the land of the free and the home of the brave. And we will tomorrow and the next day and after this election as well. Do not bet against the greatness of the United States of America. Have a great Independence Day. I'll talk to you on Friday.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.